From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Long gone are the days of The Cosby Show and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Now we can't even catch Girlfriends or All of Us. Has television lost its color? That's a question Entertainment Weekly magazine asked a few weeks ago with a special report titled, Why is TV So White? We'll dig into the question with three people who keep a keen eye on media and its cultural impact. Eric Dagans is a TV and media critic at the St. Petersburg Times. Mickey Turner is an entertainment writer for MSNBC.com. And Melanie McFarland is a TV editor for IMDb.com. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Doing all right.
Thanks.
So let's cut to the chase. If television is too white, Eric, who's responsible?
Ultimately, the executives who buy the TV shows are probably the most responsible. I think they have been pretty cowardly when it comes to challenging what people will watch on television. And, it really surprises me that in an age where some of our biggest and most bankable movie stars are people of color, you think about Will Smith, you think about Jennifer Lopez, you think about these incredible talents who fill movie theaters every week, but they can't seem to build successful TV shows around people of color with any kind of regularity or aggressiveness. It's disappointing.
Mickey, do you think that the issue is that no one is willing to take a risk on black talent, or that the model has moved and you have shows like Heroes, Lost, and Grey's Anatomy that are sort of these mixed-race ensemble cast? I mean, is the era of the black show dead?
Well, you know, executives will tell you, and they've been saying this for the past few years, that they are moving toward ensemble casts because it sort of, you know, includes everyone. That's always not the case, you know, but they'll say, hey, we've got our gay guy, you know, we've got our white woman, we've got our sassy black friend. You know, with the exception of Grey's Anatomy and Ugly Betty, you know, the people on these other shows that are involved in these ensemble casts have nothing to say or do. So I do think that networks as well as, you know, studio heads at movies don't think that people of color can carry shows.
What's the evidence, Melanie? I mean, you know, what do we know about trends in television? Because, for example, reality TV goes up and down in terms of percentage of the market. And what do we know about what's doing well right now, I guess?
Well, if I could answer that question, I think they would be hiring me to make. I think the problem is that right now television is really hurting. The entire industry is trying to figure out what to do. And that's for a variety of reasons. You have different models in terms of delivery. You have the arrival of on-demand culture, that kind of thing. And when you have that that model, I think there's a tendency to revert to what they know and what they're comfortable with. And a lot of times that's what happens with casting. If you think about the times when we have more diversity in television, it's after someone, there's, you know, some sort of uproar, kind of like what's going on right now. You have about a season or two where you actually have casting directors thinking about this. And then after that, this kind of goes into this complacent mode. And then you have a season like this one where you have Cleveland getting his own show, but Cleveland is voiced by a white guy. So,
explain who Cleveland is.
If you watch Family Guy, Cleveland is the black neighbor. He was married to Loretta for a very long time, but Loretta, I believe, left him. So now he is up and moving to his own show.
My name is Cleveland Brown, and I am proud to be right back in my hometown with my new family. There's old friends and new friends and even a band. Through good times and bad times, it's true love we share. And so I found a place where everyone will know my happy black guy face. This is the Cleveland Show.
We actually saw a table read of Family Guy at a television critics press tour, I guess it was last summer. And when the actor opened his mouth, I was really kind of amazed. Like, oh, okay, so there you go. I mean, here we have a black character who's the lead of his own show, and he is voiced by a white actor.
Hey, wasn't Big Bird black and one of the other ones of the Muppets? So I guess this is just revenge or something.
Elmo was.
Elmo's black. Okay.
Big Bird was a white guy.
Big Bird is not a brother.
And by the way, there was a year that things were so dire that you had to reach out and like, well, there's Worf. You know,
don't hate on Worf. I've been to the Star Trek.
I'm not hating on Worf. I'm just saying, you know, Worf.
We'd like to see more Worf.
Exactly. We'd like to see more Worf.
We'd like to see more black people both in this galaxy and outside of the galaxy.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, if you look at some of the most successful TV shows that have recently, come to the fore, if you think about Lost and Desperate Housewives and Ugly Betty and The Closer on cable, I mean, there is a long track record of shows that have significant characters of color who contribute to the action and are a big part of the storyline doing well. So, you know, why is there so much reluctance to try and explore these storylines at a time when network TV viewership is down and network TV viewers are getting older because young people are turning to other sources of entertainment?
Mm-hmm. If I could sort of piggyback on that for just a minute, as someone who's actually worked in television, a lot of times what people don't realize is that there's a network behind the network. And by that, I mean there's this group of people, they call each other family, and they keep hiring each other. You know, so that's kind of what happens behind the scenes. And if you look at a guy like J.J. Abrams, you know, he's still pulling his cast from Felicity and casting them in all his shows and subsequently his movies. And so there's that element. Oftentimes it's not so much racism, it's nepotism that is the bottom line.
And it's, you know, Melanie, is it hard for African-American writers and showrunners to get jobs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at it's exactly what Mickey was saying. If you look at the number of head writers or executive producers of shows that are black, there are very few of them. If you consider that and you consider the idea of you're going to mentor the people that you know or that kind of thing,
right,
it becomes very difficult for African-American writers to break in. And not only that, rise to the point where they would be given their own program. So someone that I know from college is one of the writers on Kyle XY. But one of the ways that he was able to get it was because he had a friend who was on the show who knew he could write and kind of got him in the door. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's an African-American writer, and that's how he's getting his start, is on Kyle XY. So there's, you know, it takes a lot of different people to kind of give African-American writers opportunity in all parts of the industry. But if you're not getting that encouragement, then there's not a whole lot of movement there in terms of getting the cast on the air, getting the subject matter out there. So, yeah, it's very difficult. It doesn't seem to be improving.
And again, I don't want to present this as some sort of we are the world, feel good movement. This is about making TV better. This is about accessing storylines that wider ranges of people will find compelling. And, and, you know, frankly, not, you know, I think it's a crime if somebody like Taye Diggs, for example, isn't starring in a great TV show. Benjamin Bratt finally has an interesting show on deck in A&E's The Cleaner, but I thought, it was a crime that this guy wasn't in a TV show. We have a lot of great, talented actors of color, and they have great storylines that come from their culture. So why are these things kind of being cut off and shut off and turned away from at a time when TV is desperate for this stuff? Yeah.
One of the things I want to just to expand on what Eric just said. Notice he just mentioned Benjamin Bratt is going to be on a show on A&E called The Cleaner. You have the success of Tyler Perry with House of Pain on TBS. Cable, I think, seems to be more ready to kind of take up the charge in terms of having more diverse programming, simply because a lot of cable networks are still in the beginning stages of having original programming on their network. And if you look at the way that things have worked recently, where if you've seen African-American shows or even, you know, you had Aliens in America, that was on the CW. That was on the smallest network that could. So,
yeah,
you
right,
know,
exactly.
Now,
like
now that's starting to, yeah, that barely can. But now it's all kind of moving to cable. And part of that, there's two reasons. One is because these are all channels that are willing to take chances in their programming. And two, you know, cable is the land of niche. You know, if you can figure out a good place, a good slot to put these programs into, then yes, it probably is easier to sell a more ethnically diverse program on, you know, the A&Es and the TBSs and, I mean, goodness, the BET, VH1, that kind of, you know. So, yes, on cable, I think, is going to be the next place where you're going to see diversity kind of flourish.
Before we let you guys go, what about reality television? We're often in shows like Flavor of Love, you have a lot of color, but you don't know if you really want to see that much of it by the end of the show.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, anybody, what do you think about the future of color in reality-based television?
Well, you know, reality TV is sort of the new sitcom. So just as we saw a lot of black-oriented sitcoms that appealed to a certain audience, a younger, more youthful, more urban audience, I think reality TV has developed this strain of black-focused products that do the same thing. And it's unfortunate because they regurgitate a lot of stereotypes. You know, my friend Robert Bianco, the TV critic for USA Today, used to say, you know, be careful what you ask for from the networks, because when they give it to you, you ain't going to want it. And increased diversity when it's on shows that promulgate all these awful stereotypes is, I think, a real good example of being careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm. Depending on the show, if you have a reality talent show, it seems to be much more of a democracy of the people. There's a lot more diversity. Whereas if you look at something, I mean, for instance, this summer we have The Bachelorette, and you will not see a black bachelorette on television. Or I've got to say this, if you do, it'll be the very last days of The Bachelorette. You know, when you look at that, yes, there, you know, you have everything from something like Survivor, where, is you know, anybody can compete and you can go, and it's all about your ability to kind of outwit and lie your way to the top. Anybody can do that, versus something like that where you have a very specific show built around a personality and their particular tastes. And you know, that kind of thing, it seems to be set up to be permanently just one kind of person.
Well, guys, there's certainly a lot to talk about, and we'll have to end it here. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric Dagans is a TV and media critic at the St. Petersburg Times. Mickey Turner is an entertainment writer for MSNBC.com, and she spoke with us from the studios at WVXU in Cincinnati, Ohio. And Melanie McFarlane is a TV editor for IMDb.com.